Hi and welcome. This is Steve Halpern with Super Anti-Aging Podcast, a podcast designed to give you information to help make your life better. Not only your life, but the life of your friends and family and, well, let's expand it, and the planet. So let's get into the real interesting nitty-gritty news. I was doing a search the other day on magnesium, and you know, magnesium is involved in 5,000 enzyme systems in the body. Pretty amazing stuff. And it's very easy to be magnesium deficient because of phosphate-based soils. The magnesium content of the food supply is very low. So even when you look through the nutrition list and they tell you this is a great source of magnesium, forget it. Probably not. How can you deplete magnesium? Lots of endurance exercises, stress, too much coffee. Lots and lots of reasons why you might have low magnesium. What's a symptom of low magnesium? You can get muscle cramps, muscle twitching, and difficulty getting to sleep. Now, a new one that I came across, which I hadn't realized, was magnesium in the brain. And they did some interesting experiments and found that magnesium can be beneficial in people with manic disorder, bipolar, and even schizophrenia. Now, why might that be? Well, it seems that one of the reasons is that it affects GABA systems in the brain. GABA is an amino acid that's involved. It's an inhibitory amino acid. In other words, when the brain is racing, it's supposed to put the brakes on. In fact, there are even, GABA-type drugs for neurological pain. One of the drugs is called gabapentin. But the real magic is, how do you turn on the GABA genes and system in the brain? Well, sufficient magnesium. There's a wonderful scientist named Mildred Seelig, doctor, physician, scientist, who worked at Goldwater Memorial Hospital for 40 years. She died recently, and she actually started the Magnesium Journal and telling people about how beneficial magnesium might be for everything from cardiovascular to brain health to immune health. Remember, 5,000 systems in the body. Can you hurt yourself with magnesium? Absolutely not. Let's get into supplementation. The poorest form of magnesium is magnesium carbonate. Very, very poor absorption. The second one is magnesium citrate, or when people have bowel disorders, citrate of magnesia. Okay, the problem is taking a little bit too much of this to get an adequate amount of magnesium quite possibly can give you bowel disorder or going to the bathroom a lot. So what's the best form? Well, it seems that a combination of magnesium glycinate, some citrate, some aspartate, a mixed magnesium might be the best source. The one I recommend is the Life Extension Magnesium. It's a really good mixture of magnesium. You can play with the dose and see if you can reach a dose that doesn't cause you loose stool. Again, magnesium is difficult to absorb. The only problems that have ever been seen is people with kidney disorder and using intravenous magnesium. You have to be a little careful. How about testing? Well, the testing for magnesium is really poor since only 1% is in the blood, so you're measuring 1% of your bank account. Not a good idea. You can measure red blood cell magnesium, but that's has a very big turnover, so you still might not see an accurate magnesium. So what do? You're stuck. There really is no great magnesium test right at this point. They can do magnesium load tests where they give you magnesium and they measure without the magnesium, and then they give you magnesium and they see the difference. Not the easiest thing to do. There just isn't a quick, easy magnesium test at this point. So taking magnesium is top of my list. We often see arrhythmic disorders related to magnesium deficiency. You know, magnesium, you know, often what they give for arrhythmic disorders or tachycardia, racing heart, is they'll give a calcium channel blocker, right? Block the calcium from going into heart cells, which is stimulatory. Magnesium is a natural calcium channel blocker. Yes. Very similar to the medication. So that's really high on my list. Magnesium for the heart, for the brain, for the nervous system, for getting to sleep, for problems getting to sleep. Magnesium can be very, very helpful. So a quick divergence here. Most blood tests are designed to pick up disease. They were never really designed for health measurement. Even the reference ranges are disease health, you know, disease related measurements, not health, not optimal health. So you really need a good practitioner like myself or an integrative physician to really interpret those blood ranges. Often you'll see a blood test and people are running their own tests, buying them online and from all sorts of companies now, and then you get a blood test back and it says high. Well, 1 point, 2 points is really all that, not that significant. It has to be interpreted within the context. Now, as a funny anecdote of someone going into the doctor and they just had their blood test, you know, analyzed. The doctor says, you're in great health. Well, person walks out and dies on the way out. Well, the nurse comes back and says to the doctor, well, what should we do? And the doctor says, turn the patient around the other way, coming into the office. Well, here's the problem. People say, well, I've had a good, clean bill of health. No, you've had a clean bill that there might not be a disease that the blood test is picking up. You know, in a couple of years, they'll be looking at 5,000 markers in the blood. They'll be hooking up different body monitors to measure all sorts of systems in the body, hormonal changes, things that change with the circadian rhythm. That's going to be the future, okay, where we get real-time body measurements. Let's take it to another direction. Our bodies are unbelievably complicated. We still don't know all the different gene systems and chemicals in the body and how they interact with each other in our individual profile. So what's the future? Well, the future is computers and computer learning. Okay, where the computer can learn your markers and what they mean, okay, and plot all those different individual markers. Well, we're not there. We're not there with that sophistication yet, but it's being worked on. So, in my opinion, a lot of medicine right now is guesswork. And they're a good practitioner, and they guess with good accuracy based on experience. You could probably expect a decent result. But again, the whole issue of personalized medicine will need the computers, the advanced learning computers, you know, intelligent computers that can, you know, figure lots and lots and lots of factors that determine your health. And that's a big problem with a lot of these gene tests. They're only measuring, you know, a small picture. We don't know all the different genes, and we don't know what the gene interactions mean right now. So it's fairly primitive. And even the whole microbiome we don't know yet. Okay, so my advice is, based on that, go to a really good practitioner, and you got to experiment. You got to experiment functionally. When you do this, you feel better. You have more energy. Your head's clearer. You don't need as much sleep. You're not getting sick. That's functional medicine or functional nutrition. But it takes a lot of work. And it takes, you know, a lot of tuning in to your body to see what's going on. So let me sum up some interesting things from maybe some past podcasts. You know, my favorite again, anti-inflammatory, and it's really, really important to keep inflammation low in the body, both acute, which can kill you, and chronic. Well, acute inflammation is often necessary for a short period of time, needs to be turned off. Low-level chronic inflammation, which could be in any tissue in the body, can be extremely problematic. Okay. I like ginger. I think ginger is wonderful. It actually compares very, very well to Advil and, you know, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. So that's on the top of my list. And it's not just for nausea, but it's a very powerful anti-inflammatory. I like fish oils. Good fish oils are really, really also important. Even though, you know, some studies have mixed responses. We don't know what kind of fish oils they used and how the study was designed. So, yes, fish oils are absolutely on the top of my list. Now, the real secret of longevity, and, you know, this podcast is called Super Anti-Aging, is going to be cellular rejuvenation. Cellular tissue rejuvenation. And one of the keys is, of course, mitochondria, our cell batteries, and a new study just came out on Q10 supporting mitochondrial regeneration. And that's really important. And so eventually, you know, I often ask this question, how come if you have most of your liver taken out and it's a healthy liver, you'll grow a new liver? Only organ that can do that, by the way. A salamander, if you cut off anything but the head, they'll regrow it. They'll regrow new leg, new arm, whatever systems in a salamander. Even a child, up until a certain age, a young child, if they have part of their thumb, you know, from an accident, the skin and part of the tissue, at a certain point, if you just leave it alone, then it can often regrow a new thumb. Okay, what's the main rejuvenation factors? We don't really know yet, but we do know that stem cells are absolutely critical. And one of the things that affects stem cells is oxidative stress. You know, the browning of the apple. Okay. Browning inside of us, byproduct of energy metabolism, which our cells are supposed to be able to control. We're supposed to be able to produce enough of our own antioxidants to control excessive oxidation. Well, they've shown that excessive oxidation can affect stem cells. How very interesting. So, what are the things you want to do? Okay, you obviously want to do the right amount of exercise. You want to take certain nutrients that increase your antioxidant system, like, you know, the broccoli, you know, the Vitalica broccoli that I talk about, you know, with sulforaphane, upregulates the antioxidant system, kills cancer stem cells. As my listeners who have been listening to all my podcasts know, kills cancer stem cells, but supports normal stem cells. Now, one of my favorite topics, of course, is diet. And as I said, we haven't reached the arena of real personalized medicine or even personalized nutrition. And as I said, artificial intelligence, AI, you know, computer learning is certainly going to make a difference when we can put all our measurements in and they can factor all the factors. So there is no one person perfect diet. It's going to vary for different people. But there are certain ground rules, you know, that we understand. And high sugar intake certainly is a factor. They've even done cell and animal studies on it inhibiting longevity, high sugar intake. In fact, high sugar intake might even have a factor in addictions. Famous scientist in the past who discovered more vitamins, Dr. Roger Williams, than anybody else, was able to create alcoholic and often addicted animals by giving that substance with sugar, with high amounts of sugar, and stressing the animal, banging the cage so they couldn't ever relax. And in a couple of weeks, they preferred that substance to food, to creation of addiction. So, of course, sugar is a factor. We don't even have to talk about diabetes. And, the diabetes rates are going so high that there's a shortage of insulin in the world now. That's what we're seeing. And yet, here's a dietary substance. So let me get back to the diet. The problem is our diets, our food supply, which is abundant, is grown for taste, not for nutrition. That's a big problem. And so, yes, your best shot is eating whole foods. So there's even less loss of vital nutrients in processing. Eating a processed fast food diet is a nightmare because things have to be done so that food, one, tastes good, okay, very important, and at the same time be preserved so it doesn't go rancid. Packaged food needs to be preserved so it doesn't go rancid. Long shelf life often is really important. How much of the ingredients in the packaging is going into the food, like cans and bisphenols, which they're trying to phase out. That's a synthetic hormone. And plastics, lots and lots of plastics. You know, you buy these foods and they're wrapped in different plastics, and lots of times these plastics migrate into the food. That's right. And many of these fast foods have oils that you don't want that can increase cholesterol levels, low-density lipoproteins, high LDL, things you don't want. Okay, so that's a negative problem. And so I tell people, eat whole foods. The least processed the food, the better you are. High-temperature cooked foods, especially meats, are very dangerous. They produce what's called advanced glycation end products, which is the same thing when you take a blood sugar test and it says glycated hemoglobin. It's a bad thing. You have a sugar molecule tied in to glycated, they call it, attached to a blood cell, and they're measuring it. Not good. So not cooking high temperature foods like meats. If you're going to do that, then make sure it's stewed. Stewed meats are much less problematic. Okay, poached is fine, but high temperature is definitely a problem. So I come to the end of this podcast, and here's my health advice. Good health takes work, okay? People work on their cars. They take their car in for good maintenance. You know, you don't put, you know, crappy oil in your car. Well, we know what happens when you put junky oil in your car. You know, it's not a good thing. okay? You give God gasoline, you know. But we don't treat our bodies that way. And it's so, so important to not bring yourself to the doctor mechanics and say, fix me. Okay. We haven't evolved to that place. Okay. Yes, you can have temporary fixes. You can have a stent put in. But the underlying problem, the stent has not been corrected and it's going to come back in some other way. You can go on medications, but all medications have some side effects. So you're only dealing with the immediate situation. You're not dealing with the totality of health. Okay. Health is your most precious commodity. So I hope you've learned something from this podcast. And if you did, please subscribe because it motivates me to do more and more of this research. And share this with your friends so you get the latest updates that I find in the medical studies. I have lots and lots of new stuff coming out almost on a daily basis. So you get to be the first to hear about it. Thank you again for listening. This is Steve Halpern.